The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text for our sermon today is Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labour in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, in the Old Testament, certain festivals were instituted by divine command. The Passover was held in memory of Israel's deliverance from the bondage of Egypt. At Pentecost, 7 weeks later, the first fruits of the new harvest were to be offered to the Lord. The Feast of Tabernacles commemorated the journey in the wilderness and was also the harvest festival. The Day of Atonement was a penitential festival with high priestly acts and sacrifices, foreshadowing the sacrifices for sins of the world to be made by the great high priest of the New Testament, Jesus Christ. New Testament Christians are no more bound by the ceremonial law. Still, the church has its festivals. Appreciation of and gratitude for the much greater gifts we have received at the hands of God have prompted the introduction of annual festivals celebrating the grace and goodness of our God. Thus, at Christmas, we celebrate the surpassing love of the Father, who sent his only begotten Son to be our Saviour. On Good Friday and Easter, we commemorate our full salvation accomplished by Jesus Christ. At Pentecost, we rejoice in the outpouring of the Spirit of God, beginning the great harvest of souls that has been going on ever since. Also, the material blessings of God are recognized by a special festival. To offer up thanks for these blessings, we observe Harvest Thanksgiving Day. To help us toward a proper observance of this day, let us consider more carefully God's blessing. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, God's blessing, how necessary it is. Our text says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labour in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. Here, four things we are told of people. First, they build. They construct. They make something new. A house, a church, a school, a factory, ships and cars. People make inventions. Farmers raise crops. In short, they produce. The second thing that people do is to guard. People preserve what they have acquired. Many people devote their entire time to this and thus make their living. They may wash windows, wash clothes, clean by sweeping and dusting, oiling, painting, and repairing things. Thirdly, we are told that people rise up early and sit up late, that they work from dawn till late into the night, many as busy as bees. Especially here in Australia, life is a ceaseless strain and striving, a continual hurry and chase. So much so that many break down and in some consequence of it lose their health. A fourth thing that people do is to worry. They eat the bread of sorrows. People worry about daily bread, money, health, relatives or children. Some people even worry about what is none of their business. But all these efforts of people, the psalmist asserts, are vain, abortive, unavailing if they lack God's support. All man's building is useless if God does not approve of it and bless it. How many a house was begun but never completed. Or if completed, the one who hoped to move into it was removed from this earth. Or hardly it had been completed when it was burned down. Often too, all keeping and guarding is altogether in vain. The extensive provision of governments to safeguard properties still cannot prevent fires. The Roman guard at his post at the gate, whom archaeologists dug out of the ashes of Pompeii, saw the city he was guarding buried by a higher hand. San Francisco guarded against crumbling of its buildings, but when the earth trembled and shook, the glory of the city collapsed. People cannot prevent earthquakes, tidal waves, and storms. Many people have saved for decades and carefully invested their savings, but stocks and bonds tumbled, and today these people are where they began. What good did all its preparation and its mighty army do for Germany? The resulting misery was only the greater. Our text says, unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So also the restless planning and scheming of men, their ceaseless toil and overworking, is a waste. If God has not destined the person to become rich, he will not attain riches, even though he robs himself of much sleep, thus ruining his health and making his family miserable. Or if he obstinately seeks riches, God may give him wealth as a curse to make him unhappy and miserable. Call to mind the rich fool of whom the Lord tells us in Luke chapter 12. He was very successful and made great plans, but the Almighty sent him the message, as you read in Luke chapter 12, verses 20 to 21, which was our gospel. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be acquired of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And as to worry, it is not only useless, but also sinful. Jesus earnestly warns us in Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Jesus declares it to be foolish and heathenish. No one has ever, by worry, made himself or others happy. Clearly man's striving and planning, work and efforts are in vain if God does not crown them with success. But when God blesses, things progress as in a dream. When Peter laboured without the blessing of the Lord, he worked all night in vain and did not catch a single fish. But when he laboured with the Lord's blessing, it was only one cast, and the net was so full that it began to tear. When the Lord builds a house, it is built well and brings joy to the heart. When the Lord tills the land, it will so bear fruit that the farmer is all smiles. When the Lord blesses our work, we are richly and daily provided with all that we need. The hymnist writes, all depends on our possessing God's abundant grace and blessing. God's blessing also preserves our possessions. If the Lord keeps a city, then it is quiet and in order, and everyone enjoys their possessions in peace. If the Lord keeps a country, peace prevails, and people can enjoy life. If the Lord blesses, the good things drop into our lap. Our text says, for so he gives his beloved sleep. While they sleep, God fills their coffers. He so rules things that we can feel it, sense it, that it is not our doing that everything goes smoothly and successfully. Another hymnist writes, O Lord, of this and all our store, thou art the author blessed. Thou keepest watch before our door, while we securely rest. Looking around us, we must admit that we have enjoyed the blessing of the Lord. True, God has taught us also that our efforts in themselves are in vain. Our lack of rain in some areas of our country have resulted in poor crops. In these economic times, several businesses have closed. Many people are out of work or put on part-time. Savings have melted away and bonds and stocks have lost value. Still, who among you has not had his daily bread? Who of you has been without clothing and shoes and food, etc.? Even those who could not earn for themselves, it was given to them through government benefits. Who has had to curtail luxuries and to get along without desirable conveniences? Still, we receive submission to see us through. If a person was to cross our country with his eyes closed and his ears open, he would think that there was nothing but hard times and distress throughout our land. But if he would return with his ears closed and his eyes open, he would everywhere see ample reason for us to be so thankful. What country on earth would you rather live than in ours? Truly, you have many reasons to thank God. And God desires to bless us in the future. We read in Psalm 145, The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. And Psalm 52 verse 9, I'll praise you forever because you have done it, and in the presence of your saints I'll wait on your name, for it is good. We read in Psalm 145 verse 9, The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. In Psalm 106 we read, Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. God's promise is given to us in Psalm 121. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. If this promise is not fulfilled in us, it is we who make its fulfillment impossible. Let us therefore also learn how to retain the blessing of God. So secondly, God's blessing, how we may retain it. The words of our text are wasted on us if we do not take home this lesson, that everything we have, even what we have acquired by hard work, is God's gift. God is the source of all good. We read in Psalm 147 that it is God who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. We read in Psalm 103 that it is God who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We dare not become self-satisfied, and yet we very readily become self-complacent if we are successful. God's word says in Proverbs chapter 20, Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Only too quickly we forget God, the giver of all good things, and ascribe our success to ourselves. But it is heathenish to pride yourself with your success and to walk as if others were less successful or poorer than you merely because they are lazy or silly. It may be a person's fault. However, it may also be that God gave lesser gifts or granted lesser successes. Therefore, bear in mind that your success is God's undeserved gift and blessing, and therefore you are to remain humble. Let your heart be filled with true gratitude toward God, and let the words of your mouth bear witness of the sentiment of your heart, as expressed in Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Sing with the psalmist, I'll lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And regarding the Lord as the source of all good, join the psalmist in saying, in the Lord I put my trust. But knowing your weakness, let your prayer be Psalm 51, verse 15. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. But note too, that our text distinctly says, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Only God's beloved are justified in being at ease. God promises fatherly care and provision only to his children. To make people his own, Christ has ordained that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name to all nations. And of those who daily repent of their sins and daily appropriate the merits of Christ by faith, the Apostle says in Galatians chapter 3, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Let that then be your concern, that you remain children of God. Then his blessing can and will rest on you. Furthermore, is the psalmist cautioning us in our text not to work or not to watch? On the contrary, work on our part is necessary, but is insufficient in itself. We are to do our part, to work diligently and faithful in our calling. Every one is to have a calling in which he is serving, and to the benefit of his fellow men. It is wrong to excuse laziness and negligence by saying, all depends on God's blessing. Only if we apply ourselves diligently to our work, and do it as unto the Lord, will his promises apply to us, and may we expect his blessing. But God as the giver, and we as his grateful children, includes also this, that we use his gifts according to his will. We are to use them first of all for the support and wants of the body, and to provide for the needs of our family. However, we are to use them also for the needs of our soul. We must diligently hear and learn God's word, or else our faith will die, and we shall be lost. We must continue steadfastly in the Apostles' doctrine. Our children, too, should learn the glad tidings and learn to live as is fitting for God's children. For that purpose, we need churches, schools, pastors, teachers, and educational institutions. We also to labour for this purpose, as written in Ephesians chapter 4. Let him labour, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. And so we are not to seal our hearts against the bodily needs of our neighbour. God has especially set the great task, recorded in Mark chapter 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Proper gratitude therefore includes this, that we use some of the goods that God blesses us with to send the gospel to the heathen. Then we are laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Then we are by means of the mammon of unrighteousness making friends who will receive us into the everlasting habitations. Let us then add the thanks of our hands to the thanks of our hearts and mouths, using God's gifts according to his will. If then we look up to God as a source of all good, and implore him for Jesus' sake to bless us also in the future, our prayers will be heard, and we shall always find new causes to sing our praises to him. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.